following takes place between 9 a.m. and 10 a.m. Events occur.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Welcome to FPC Radio Live. It's Tuesday. Starting the week off on a Tuesday because we do whatever we want here on this show. No, of course, it's the offseason in the NFL. We're getting ready to wrap up the preseason here this week before we get a nice bye week before the start of the actual season. So we're gonna jump right in. We're going to talk a lot of NFL today, of course. And maybe a mention of LeBron here or there because I do have Mr. John Sapicetti on the other line. John, how's it going, buddy? How you doing?
Doing okay. Just anxious for the NFL season to start. Sunday, we have a little pool that we do every year, and it's really creative, right? It's different than the standard fantasy. Four of us get together. We throw $60 in a piece, so the pot's $240, and we have three separate pools. The you draft eight teams, and you draft eight quarterbacks. And the first pool is you total up the number of wins for your eight teams. Mm-hmm. Whoever gets the most wins $80. The second one is whoever the Super Bowl winner is wins $80. And then what we do with the quarterbacks is we add up all their touchdowns, passes, rushes, and receptions in case Cam Newton catches another touchdown pass or two this year. You don't want to have that one slip through the cracks. Mm-hmm. And that person was $80. So looking forward to that on Sunday. I always loved live drafts. I've always liked that about fantasy. I don't do fantasy anymore, but this is as close as I get to it. We also do something similar for the NBA. So yeah, football's around the corner, college football this weekend. So bring it on.
Yeah. I'm excited. You know, I'm going on a little getaway. Not, I wouldn't say getaway. I'm going to see a show this weekend and then I'll be gone for, you know, the beginning part of next week. So a little bit of a vacation before the real craziness starts here in the NFL. I mean, we're getting to the point now where there's only one more week of the preseason because, you know, they play this third game, all these NFL teams, and then there's a week off before the start, you know, no fourth game this year, which is great. It makes the preseason a little bit more manageable, if you want to call it that. But, you know, I'm excited for real football to start. You know, obviously this time is greatly important for those trying to make the roster, for coaches, for talent evaluators, all that. But, you know, if you're watching from a fan perspective, which a lot of our listeners, that's what you're doing, you just want real games to start. Okay, mm-hmm. You're tired of the dog and pony show where it's like, okay, how long the start is going to come out? Okay, this is, you know, he looked good, but it was against second and third stringers. Like, no, you want to see games that count, and I think people are kind of itching for that. Although, if you're a Patriots fan, you get a treat because the last 2 weeks, you've had a lot of joint practices, and then of course, you know, leading up to the game last week against the Eagles, 35-0, and then this week against the Giants. So also of course, you know, during this time of the year we also get the annual top 100 players voted on by the other players and all that stuff, and really for the most part, John, I think you and I will agree, it's never really worth a discussion. Well, I don't want to say that because we're about to discuss it. I don't want to diminish what we're about to do. But it's really nothing to take seriously. And I have had this philosophy for about 10 years now, ever since Tim Tebow made it to number 95, former Jaguars tight end, if you were wondering who I'm talking about, John. Former Jaguars tight end Tim Tebow in 2011, I think, was number 95. The funniest part was I saw the clip recently, and along the lines of his like voiceover, or not his, but the one playing over his quote unquote highlight clip was, he's not like the most accurate or best passer, and I just lost it. I'm like, there you go, you should have just stopped right there, and then, you know, thought twice about putting him on this list here. But it's always an interesting exercise that, you know, the NFL has seemed to now, instead of I think they used to do 10 names like once a week, they would do this, they would drag this out for like 8 weeks.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now they've sped it up a little bit, but we're down to the final 10, and that's going to be revealed on Sunday. And I think, obviously, Tim Tebow at no point in his life should have been one of the top 100 players in the NFL. I don't think he should have been one of the top 500 players in the NFL. I know he had that stretch in 2011 where he was 7-4 as a starting quarterback and won a playoff game. Mm-hmm. That's all well and good. But the thing about this is, I know the players vote for this, and I don't know how seriously they take it, what the method is, and they're not really transparent about this. So yeah, let's throw Tim Tebow at number 95 back 9 years ago, and we'll get a lot of traction off that because people are going to talk about that. And of course, when the final 10 is revealed, you're going to have everybody losing their mind. You know, mm-hmm. the Mahomes fans are going to get pissed if he's not number one. The Rodgers fans are going to get pissed if he's not number one. And the Brady fans are going to get pissed if he's not number one. And there are three quarterbacks in the top 10. I can just see this all setting up, right? But the thing is, too, is like, how the hell do you compare quarterbacks to defensive linemen? I mean, you can make a case that Aaron Donald is the best player in football, but I mean, those other three guys play by far the most important position, so their impact is greater. That's a really tough discussion.
I think that's the answer right there. And some people say, oh, it's not fair. Well, no, it is. I mean, like, yeah, Aaron Donald, you know, assuming he's not going up against Joe Tooney or Trent Brown, you know, is unstoppable. But, you know, even as great as he is, and I'm not trying to diminish his impact, I'll ask a rhetorical question. How much of an impact does he really have? Now,
right.
That's not to say he has none or he has very little. No, he has a fairly big impact, but it pales in comparison to what the quarterback is. So, you know, again, people say, oh, well, the MVP favors the quarterback. Well, no, duh. The most important position in the league, and this is something that, you know, obviously I've been, you know, at the forefront of the you know, quarterback or wins are quarterback stat. And this is a lot of the reason for it, because again, the impact is just, you can't understate what the impact is. And John, you can't see it because you're on the phone and you're not, you don't have the screen up, but I do have the 10 players, not in order, obviously. Although okay. I am going to tell you a couple of the orders, cause I already know, cause I'm just, you know, I'm that type of person.
You already know.
I already know. Did you bug the NFL network
headquarters or something?
I already know. I already have a few answers to this. So,
okay.
There's actually
four. Feel like Brady, you have the answers to the question.
That's right. That's right. Because I created the test, and that's how good Brady is. There's actually four quarterbacks in this top 10 here, and I'm actually just going to list.
Josh Allen made it too, right?
So I'm just going to list all the players that are going to be a part of this top 10. And then we can kind of see if you're on the right track or whatever. So Davante Adams, Josh Allen, Tom Brady, Aaron Donald, as you mentioned, Derrick Henry, DeAndre Hopkins, Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, TJ Watt. So I told you I'm going to tell you exactly how it's going to happen. I know two spots, okay? The two pieces of bread in this top 10 list, okay? Number 10, it's going to be Josh Allen. I mean, come on. It just look at the list of players, you know, and you know how these lists work. Josh Allen's going to, you know, creep in first appearance in the top 10. You can hear the little film reel, the and then you go into the voiceover of Josh Allen. And that's what we're going to get. First time in the top 10. Welcome to the club, Josh Allen. I guarantee you that's what's going to happen when the list is revealed, which Sunday? I don't even know. I should probably look that up.
It's on Sunday.
Sunday, okay, all right. Just making sure. That's what I thought. So, number 10, Josh Allen. And then there's a bunch of crap in between 10 and number 1, which is going to make people lose it. But I've been, again, I don't have a lot of faith in the players. The one thing I do have faith in, they're not fans on Twitter, you know? They're not pundits shock shows on ESPN and FS1. Tom Brady's going to be the number one player, and it's going to make people go nuts. I'm telling you, people are going to lose it. It's going to be Brady derangement syndrome at its peak for the, you know, next week or so, however long people want to actually pay attention to this list. Again, just so you know, you shouldn't pay attention to this list too much unless Brady's number one and I'm proven right, and then you can sit there and bask in the glory of the players actually knowing what the hell they're talking about, because there's no reason Tom shouldn't be number one on this list. You know, let's say quarterback-wise, okay? Let's say I do believe he's going to end up being the number one player. overall, even over Aaron Donald. But let's just say, for the sake of, you know, discussing just the quarterbacks, he's going to be the number one quarterback. And I do think he's going to be number one on this list. So, you know, Aaron Rodgers, I think, probably number two, at the very least, second quarterback. I think it's going to go just how we kind of feel the quarterback ranks, the quarterbacks rank now, you know, Brady, Rodgers, Mahomes, where they ultimately end up within the top 10. Well, you know, we'll see. But I also want to point out that both Rodgers and Mahomes have a offensive weapon in this top 10 as well. So just saying. Brady does not.
Nope. Well, but Brady has a good supporting cast.
No, I'm not. Yeah, I'm not saying that.
let's put it this way. He probably has his second best wide receiver is Godwin, who is better than Green Bay's second wide receiver. I mean, we could spend the whole next 36 minutes on this if you want.
Well, my comments are based on people, you know, claiming the opposite, saying like Mahomes and Rodgers don't have help, and that drives me nuts.
Of course they have help.
That drives me nuts.
No, everyone has help. I mean, this isn't Archie Manning playing for the Saints in the early 70s where he'd get the ball snapped to him and run for his life literally on every play. What you saw in the Super Bowl with Mahomes, multiply it by 10. That's what Archie Manning felt like in his, you know, 7 years in New Orleans before they got halfway decent. Yeah, no, they all had help. That's, you know, don't you think Josh Allen has help? He's got a very good offensive coordinator in Brian Daboll, and they went out and got, you know, top five receiver in Stephon Diggs. Yeah, these guys aren't doing it by themselves.
No, of course not. No, and look, I just, you know, I always laugh when these things pop up, though, you know, because, again, this is a lot of Twitter fodder, folks. Like, I mean, you're getting a lot of people, and there's some, you know, national, you know, commenters, I guess you want to call them. I don't want to call them analysts because not all of them are. They're just kind of, you know, say things for the sake of saying things type of people. But, you know, some of them play into this whole thing. But the reality of it is there's some really good players on this list. And, you know, we're not here to you know, downplay any of them. I just happen to feel that people are going to get upset about the ranking. Now, do you agree with me, John? And it's okay. I have a feeling you don't, but it's okay. It could also just be based on how you think this list is going to play out and not necessarily your personal feeling. I just think that the players are ultimately going to upset a lot of people here.
Well, he's been number one several times, right, Brady?
More than anyone, this
won't be the first time that he's number one, and probably won't be the last time he's number one either. Who the hell knows? I wouldn't bet against him at this point. He's saying he's going to have his greatest year ever, and what the hell, why not? I think people will, in general, again, this is a lot of Twitter sphere that, you know, Jameis, one of one, will flip out, and he's, you know, proud as a peacock today because Jameis Winston
looked
like a real quarterback last night. Oh, yeah, I made a couple nice throws last night. And by the way, he's my sneaky pick in my draft. Maybe the fifth round I'll take Jameis because he could pop for 30-odd touchdown passes this year, and they don't penalize you for interceptions in this
pool. Oh, perfect. Cool. Oh, he's great.
Yeah,
then.
So
number one overall pick.
Guy. Yeah, a lot of yards, a lot of – yeah, he's a perfect fantasy guy, right? But, I expect him – it's so difficult with the quarterback. So four of the 10 are the quarterbacks, but most impactful players. Absolutely. If you want to do that, then they should be the first four, you know, whatever order you think it should be Brady, Rodgers, Mahomes, Josh Allen, whatever. Those should be the most important. Yeah, you could throw Russell Wilson in there. You could fill up the top 10 with six quarterbacks if you really wanted to go that far. Just back it up a little bit. I think TJ Watt's going to be number 10 because I'm like kind of surprised he's in there. I mean, he had a good year last year, but, you know, there's other guys in the league that are, you know, is Khalil Mack any different than TJ Watt and whatever the case
is?
Yeah,
but I feel like his name is going to be enough to get him.
Well, you think they're going to confuse it with his brother. They may say JJ Watt, you know, it's like they may just, you know, he'll get the JJ Watt vote with him. It's like, two candidates from the same state.
Yeah.
But so I think that could happen. I think you might be right about Josh Allen because it's a new name, right? Like no one expected Josh Allen to be in the top 10 and be considered the fourth best quarterback in football. Heck, he was second in MVP voting last year. He had a huge jump last year.
He did. My concern is that going to carry over? Cause so far, you know, and, you know, I'm not doubting it. I'm just saying 3 years of Josh Allen, two were, very poor, you know, certainly in some of the key categories like accuracy. And I'm not talking about completion right. percentage. I'm talking about actual accuracy when you sit there and watch where his throws yep. are going, completed or incomplete. You know, you can tell a lot by just, you know, watching. And he made a huge improvement, something that, mm-hmm. again, doesn't generally happen. Like, you can improve your completion percentage. That's not what I'm talking about. It's actual accuracy. And right. he made that huge leap from year two to year three. Now, can he keep that? We'll see. I mean, a lot of that, again, Stephon Diggs helps. But you still have to be, as a quarterback, you have to be accurate. It doesn't matter who you have as a, mm-hmm. as a receiver.
Exactly.
Ultimately, that's going to, you know, if you're an inaccurate passer that's being propped up by, you know, again, if you had Randy Moss as your wide receiver, you were able to throw, and this isn't about Brady, because we know obviously that he was accurate, but, you know, some of his quarterbacks of years past, you know, i.e. with the Raiders, were certainly propped up a little bit because Randy Moss just went up and did Randy Moss things. Well, eventually...
When he felt like...
Yeah, when he felt like playing, it, of course. Yeah. But when he did feel like it, he was...
Oh,
again,
incredible.
Yeah, one of my favorite NFL players of all time. This was before he was even a Patriot. But yeah, so, you know, again, that's going to shine. So is Josh Allen really turned the corner accuracy-wise? If he has, then I think, you know, he has some staying power up here among the elite mm-hmm. top group of NFL quarterbacks, which, you know, the three that we talk about, you know, the most, Brady, Rodgers, and Mahomes. And then, you know, I would throw Russell Wilson in there. Maybe at one point, you know, Deshaun Watson was knocking on the door, but,
mm-hmm.
You know, again, that's, you know, just but based on his, I don't know if you saw his little snippet video, but it was pretty, I don't know what the word, you know, I saw it described as ominous. I didn't think that was the correct way to phrase it. I don't know how ominous it was. It was just, it was awkward.
Right.
Yeah. We don't know when he's going to play. Okay. This, a lot of things going on with him legal wise that we're not going to dive into today, that we'll save that for inevitably.
Yeah. Kind of put him aside almost like an injured player. Like, if you want to put your top 10 list of NBA players, maybe you just take Kawhi Leonard and put him aside because he's not expected to play. Yeah.
Exactly.
The quarterback I'm slowly falling in love with is Justin Herbert. As I told you before, he's probably the heir apparent for me when Rodgers retires, which hopefully he's not for a few more years. He might be my favorite quarterback. I think he has all of the skills that Josh Allen has, except mm-hmm. I think he's even more accurate, more naturally accurate. And I think he's, I think he's every bit as good as any quarterback that was drafted this year. Certainly, I think he's better than all the quarterbacks that were drafted this year, including Trevor Lawrence, who I think is in just a horrible situation. I mean, the poor kid last night, I was watching him, and it seemed like every time we went back to pass, there was, you know, two pass rushers next to him. He got away from them, decided to run, and got, you know, lit up a couple times. And I'm sure that ownership in Jacksonville is like, whoa, you know, get out of bounds, no need to get hit. But yeah, no, that the top three guys that we all agree are the three best quarterbacks in football, I would assume at worst they'll be in the top five in this top 10 list, right? I mean, I don't know if they're just going to take three quarterbacks and lump them in 1, 2, 3. You'll probably see Aaron Donald in there because he's always 100%. Kind of always in there. And again, I think he's slightly overrated. I mean, I've watched a lot of football. To me, the most dominant defensive lineman I ever saw was Reggie White,
mm-hmm.
Who's just bigger, stronger, more athletic than Aaron Donald, and every bit is relentless. So I would always put him above Aaron Donald, but he's a guy now that, you know, everybody talks about. To get double-digit sacks from the inside is pretty impressive. But, yeah, the Patriots did a great job against him in the Super Bowl. Absolutely.
This might sound like a stupid question. But it just seems obvious to me that Reggie White just had a bigger impact. Like, I'm not trying to diminish Aaron Donald, but, like, he's kind of like Mike Trout, if you think about it.
A good comparison. Like, I know what you mean.
He's so good, but he has such little impact on the outcome of a game. And I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's just him missing something. And I know, you know, as a defensive player, you only have so much you can impact wins and loss wise. This goes back to, again, the quarterback being the most important position. And no one's sitting here saying that, you know, a defensive lineman can, you know, Matt Stafford is far more important to the Rams' success or failures than Aaron Donald is. You could lose Aaron Donald for the entire season. It's all about Matt Stafford. That doesn't mean Aaron Donald's a bad player. It just kind of speaks to, again, the positional impact, you know, across the NFL, and quarterback reigns supreme. But
Jalen Ramsey may be more impactful than Aaron Donald on that defense, because he is the best cornerback in football. I'm surprised he wasn't in this top 10 list. I mean, he just came outside of that.
Well, I think there's more competition. I think there's more competition for that spot. Like, Aaron Donald, I think, is very clearly the best defensive tackle in the NFL.
By far.
I think with cornerbacks, I mean, you can make a case for, I think, three or four guys. And it seems to be, you know, the last couple of years, it seems to be passed among, you know, a handful of people, you know. And again, Stephon Gilmore is one of those guys. Obviously, Jalen Ramsey, who went up, who was the top cornerback, went down a little bit, and now he's back up there. So, yeah, but, you know, from a standpoint of, well, what, you know, how do you combat one of the most important positions? Well, you have to be able to, you know, prevent them from completing passes. Well, that's where defensive back comes in. So I think that plays into it. But, you know, it just, from an impact point, like, you know, look at Khalil Mack. You know, at one point he was considered the premier defensive lineman. And, yeah, he had an impact, but at its peak, does it win you a lot of football games?
You can neutralize some of these guys. And we've seen the Patriots do that over the years with, you know, J.J. Watt and with Aaron Donald, you know, where you scheme up that you've got two guys on them and you kind of neutralize them. I mean, there are very few guys that you couldn't neutralize. Reggie White was one of them. Also Lawrence Taylor, because Lawrence Taylor could beat you going forward, going sideways, or going back. That's why he's the greatest defensive player in the history of the sport. I think that's the easiest argument in football. Seriously, who's the greatest offensive player in football? I'd say Tom Brady, but there's Jim Brown and there's Jerry Rice. You know, throw them into the discussion, Walter Payton, whoever. Mm-hmm. But greatest defensive player, I mean, Lawrence Taylor changed the game, you know, where to the point where offensive coordinators had to come up with new ways to try to keep him out of the backfield. And then if they could do that, he could also track down running backs and he could actually drop into coverage. You know, he had pick sixes in his career. That's pretty impressive for a guy that size. So, yeah, there's very few of those guys. The comparison to Mike Trout is great because I love Mike Trout. I think he's the best player in baseball. But you're right. The Angels aren't really any better with him or without him. He's made the postseason once. Now, my guy's Barry Bonds. And if you look at what Barry Bonds' impact was on San Francisco over the years, there was a 7-year stretch, Ian, where the San Francisco Giants did not play a meaningless game in a 7-year stretch because they were always in contention. They made the playoffs four times, but the other 3 years they didn't get eliminated till the final weekend, and it was because of him. Like, you don't see that with the Angels, whereas with the Giants, you always saw them in contention. So, yeah, you can be incredibly talented, but you just don't have the impact that other players have. And I think you nailed it with the Aaron Donald, Mike Trout comparison. Awesome players. I mean, Hall of Famers, without question. But it's like, I mean, last year in the playoff game against the Packers, he was playing with cracked ribs, and they really neutralized him. But they have a good offensive line, Green Bay, and they usually do a pretty good job of neutralizing a player like that. And then they did a good job in that game. We saw what the Patriots did in Super Bowl 53, where, you know, they pretty much controlled him fairly easily. And, yeah, so but he'll be up in that top five because he's a unique player. And, again, I think you're so right, Ian. He's so much better than the rest in that particular group that, you know, you have to put him in there.
Yeah, and look, I'm trying not to minimize, like, and I'm not, when I say things like, you know, it's easy too, I don't mean it's easy. I'm just saying relative to other positions, it's easier to replicate what Aaron Donald does, and not exactly. And I'm not saying, like, you can find one person to do what Aaron Donald does. No, but through defensive scheming and, you know, a work of other players, you can make, you know, another guy, Vernon Golston, look like Aaron Donald if you want to. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's possible. You can give quarterbacks all the help in the world. You can't replicate great quarterbacks because a lot of that is in the head. It's not about just scheme. That's why it's funny when people sit there, it's just the system. Well, no. I mean, you know, the system, the quarterback or the coach isn't on the sideline with a video game controller making these decisions for the quarterback. Right. Ultimately, the decisions and the you know, the pressure falls on the shoulders of the quarterback. So you can't replicate that. You can put someone in, you can Matt Castle and, you know, put someone in that's, you know, good enough to lose seven fewer games. That's another funny route people take when trying to criticize, you know, guys like Brady. It's like, oh, well, Matt Castle, well, he won seven fewer games. Patriots won 18, they won 11. So we can get into the details.
With a similar roster, pretty much the same roster.
Almost identical. And again, all the, I guess you want to call them, advanced analytics seem to greatly support the theory that the team drastically fell off offensively, despite the, well, they still won 11 games. But you know, that's a, I don't want to go down that tunnel. They
didn't beat really one good team.
Not a single
stretch,
one.
Right?
They were bad against good teams, and they beat up on poor teams.
They were playing the AFC West, which I think the champ was San Diego, which went 8-8 that year. So, I mean, we're going back into ancient history, it feels like. But, yeah, no, I mean, when people said that, I was like, okay, well, 16-0 to 11-5 and, you know, one play away from winning the Super Bowl to not making the playoffs. That's pretty different.
Yeah, that's a huge yeah, difference. But
that's
again,
a big difference.
But that's the thing, and that's how impactful a quarterback is, because that Patriots team was still great. I mean, you had great players up and down that roster, and no one's saying that the 2007 team wasn't filled with great players.
Right.
But the most important one was the quarterback, and it was so evident the following year because that team was so good. Now, granted, they also had a very easy schedule in 2008 that just happened. Look, if Tom Brady was under center, I don't say this, I think the floor for that team was 15 wins in the regular season. That's how easy that schedule was, and that's how good they would have been with Brady. But again, it just so happened that he got injured, and you know, over the years, I've come to accept it as something that really put in motion what we're seeing here today, because, you know, not to get down too deep a rabbit hole here, but it was after this injury that Brady really reevaluated his, you know, health and how he felt playing the game of football. And, you know, perhaps if it wasn't for this injury, he would have, you know, done what a lot of quarterbacks done, played until he was 36, 37. Maybe he wins a fourth Super Bowl and, you know, that's it. And then you move on. But so, anyways, no rabbit hole. You can consider that injury at the end of the day fortune or whatever because of how it ultimately played out. But the point was, all the talent in the world, 2007, 2008, both offense and defense. We're not just talking about offensively. They were still really good defensively. This was right before they went through the real makeover between 08 and 09 with drafting and the McCourty era and all that stuff.
Right.
The difference was the quarterback. And I think if the same scenario plays out and say, I'm really, you know, having to harken back, but important defensive player for the Patriots on the defensive line goes down and you miss the entire, okay, you know, maybe you lose a game or maybe you give up some, you know, more rushing yards or whatever this season than you did last year. They still go 15-1, you know, because Brady's there. And that, you know, it's all about the quarterback. So,
they're the ultimate force multipliers, and then among those force multipliers are the best at it, and he is the best at that. It just has an impact on the entire team, not just on the field, off the field, all of those great things. I mean, I'll go back with my guy, Aaron Rodgers, 2017. They're 4-1.
Mm-hmm.
He's leading the MVP, you know, balloting at that point. I mean, he's playing at an incredibly high level. Has his collarbone broken against the Minnesota Vikings, they end up going 7-9 with their backup quarterbacks. And it's like, that's the difference that you see in those great quarterbacks. As great as Mahomes is, I think they could probably still be pretty good without him. I don't think they'd be 14-2 or this year.
Well, because
we've seen it with Alex Smith the year before. Yep. And, you know, and don't forget Alex Smith in 2017 was also in the MVP.
Yep.
You know, race early in the season. They started out 5-0. They won 11 games that year, but I give them credit. They said, okay, that's good, but we got to get better. And that's what they were able to do. So yeah, I think there's certain places where the quarterback is it. I don't know about New Orleans, if they're going to fall. They lost more than Drew Brees. They lost a lot on both sides of the ball. Yeah. So that's a tough one to argue. I think Jameis could be really good with them this year, but back to Brady. Yeah. I mean, you can't take a guy like that off the field and expect that it's not going to have an incredible impact. So, yeah, I think those three quarterbacks will be in the top five. I think Aaron Donald will be in there. Is Derrick Henry going to get in there, you think?
I think so.
You know, 2,000 yards is still pretty impressive.
Well, I think so. And, you know, it's either that or probably Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I feel like DeAndre Hopkins and Devontae Adams, they're going to be kind of like, you know, the receivers, you know, probably in that mix with T.J. Watt and Josh Allen at the
right.
bottom half. And then, you know, the mainstays, the Derrick Henrys of the world. Because wasn't Derrick Henry in the top five like a year ago or whatever? So, I mean,
he's close to, yeah.
Yeah,
he's so, obviously an impact player.
Yeah. And actually, the graphic that I have up here that was tweeted by the NFL Network actually has Derrick Henry as the player in the background. So maybe that's a little bit of foreshadowing that he's going to be in the top five. Definitely want to be top. I couldn't imagine a scenario where he's top one, because I mean, there was a phenomenal quarterback play last year. And again, they're going to get the most of the credit, and again, deservedly so. We don't, you know, no one's sitting here saying they do everything, but they do a lot, and it's going to, I think, be reflected in this list.
The last time a running back was number one would probably be 06, LaDainian Tomlinson.
Well,
coming into the 07 season,
Adrian
I'm guessing.
Peterson?
I mean, Adrian Peterson, maybe when he was in 2012, he was the MVP of the league. But Peyton Manning had a really good year in Denver that year.
And Tom, you know, so Tom had a great year.
And Brady
that
still
year,
was. And, Brady and Rogers had a good year. Yeah, they were still. Those three guys were good every year.
Last year, I believe, was the first time that Tom Brady wasn't, in the history of doing this list, not top five. Which was, again, this kind of speaks, again, to the silliness of this list, because, again, you can't tell me that, you know, his skills beyond just his stats diminished to the point that he wasn't worthy of being a top 10 player. And obviously this year kind of proved that point a bit more because, well, you know, my contention is, well, you know, Brady just doesn't get dumber and then smarter, you know, as the years go by. You know what I mean?
No.
Like if you're losing your skill, you don't get it back, you know, when you get older. That's the thing. Like you can't fall backwards because you re-age and then regain that unless, again, you have some sort of youth drink, you know, that's going to bring you back to life. And I'm not talking about something that's going to think that it's bringing you back to life. I'm talking about actual youth serum bringing your body back to life, because it's just impossible. You lose your skill because of your age. Well, it's lost. You just manage it. And that never happened with Brady. So I think he's obviously going to end up back in the top five. I think that's a given. But I also think people are just going to be upset, you know, fans mostly, when he ends up being number one. Because, well, you know, hey, it'd be one of the first times that they get things right. I'll talk about a pivot. I will give the list all the credit in the world if Tom Brady is number one. Just because, again,
you'll be there Monday morning at 9 o'clock, pounding your chest, no matter where you are. You'll be ready to pontificate about that. No, it's going to be interesting to see what happens here, and I think that if you pick him number one, that'll get a lot of traction for the NFL Network. You know, so whether that weighs in or not, I mean, I would hope that this is pretty transparent. That we pulled 1,600 players, or how many players there are in the NFL? Did they all fill out this ballot, and how do you even go about it? I mean, that's the whole other thing. I mean, you just pick one player and say, the best player in football is this guy, or do you fill out a top 10 list and weigh it by, you know, 10 points for your first pick and all the way down to 1 point for your 10th pick? Because but this is what makes the NFL amazing. Here we are, you know, in late August, we're on the precipice of the season, which it kind of feels like the dog days of August. Like, you can't wait to get through this third preseason game. You know, baseball's in full bloom with some interesting races here. And here we are talking about the NFL's top 100 players. They're very skillful at getting us to talk about them.
Well, that's the thing. I sit here and I'll complain about the list and how silly I think it is. But yet, here we are spending 35 minutes and our entire show talking about the damn list. So we're gonna obviously dive into more of the season and preseason stuff over the course of the next couple days as we do get ready for the season. And, you know, eventually we'll put our credibility on the line when we make our predictions and all that fun stuff here in the next couple weeks. Yeah, it's going to be
fun.
So, you know, make sure that you're ready to own the false picks. I'm coming off quite a high of last year, nailing a couple very important predictions, and I'm going to try to do it again this year.
I had Tampa losing at the NFC before the season started. I had Tampa losing to Green Bay in the NFC Championship game. So, you know,
it was close.
Yeah, and I think I had Baltimore beating Kansas City in the AFC, and then I had the Packers beating Kansas City in the Super Bowl, because I've always wanted Packers Patriots in the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that can happen. Now I want to see Packers Chiefs in the Super Bowl, because I think that would be a fun game with two quarterbacks. But yeah, I mean. Yeah,
Well, hopefully, Patrick Mahomes will actually, you know, have a closer game, you know, against Aaron Rodgers. Maybe it'll be a better game.
That was a lost opportunity.
It was a lost opportunity
for the Packers last year. The Super Bowl was held at Lambeau Field last year, the NFC Championship game, because Kansas City was not beating either one of those teams. They were both playing at a higher level throughout the entire season. I mean, Kansas City was. Remember how many games they were in where they were winning by 3, 4, 6 points. I think they'd gone on a run where they were like 1-7 against the spread, which isn't that important, but it is when you're winning a lot of close games, and that's great. And even against Cleveland in the divisional round, I mean, I know Mahomes got hurt late in the second quarter and they were able to pull it out, but yeah, I mean, I don't think first of all, I know these power rankings come out and I'm looking at it like, how is Kansas City ahead of Tampa Bay? Tampa Bay beat them. Tampa has a better defense.
I don't think that's arguable. They have a better team. I don't like to put too much stock into hypothetical stats, and you might know where I'm getting at, but the number of and this is where fortune, and sometimes you can't count on this twice in back-to-back seasons, but Patrick Mahomes had 19 dropped interceptions. Like, not like close, and I know, look, there's some debate as to the validity of what it is, and like I said, I'm never going to go into an argument saying, oh, you know, this guy's better because he had, you know, 19 theoretical dropped. No, but when you look at, like you mentioned, how close some of these games were, some of the warning signs throughout the season, that's why, like, when people say, oh, well, you know, they just lost because they lost all these offensive line. No, they lost because this was a long time coming. And they didn't play great
down the stretch.
And look no further than the first time that they met. People are blind to the huge first quarter that the Kansas City had, but they got shut down for 3 out of 4 quarters. Now, again, Kansas City at the end of the day won that game, but if you really, unless you want to just blind yourself to the context of it, you're sitting there thinking, well, do you really think that other teams are going to drop 19 potential interceptions next year? Well, no, I wouldn't count on it. You know what I mean? Even if a couple of those go the opposite way, maybe you're talking about different, you know, outcomes for games in various situations. We saw interceptions in both Super Bowls in the last 2 years. The preseason, I know it's just the preseason, but we're seeing some of the same tendencies. And it's like, you know, going back to a point that you made earlier about, well, if so-and-so goes down for the Patriots or the Bucks now or the Packers, well, we know what Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady can do when the chips are against them, okay?
Yeah.
You know, I again, at the end of the day, I still believe Brady's better than Rodgers, but they're both on a level that they can overcome a lot to keep their teams in it. I'm not saying Patrick Mahomes can't. We just haven't seen it. He hasn't ever been in that position because – well, he took over a team that was, you know, right in the mix for the AFC title last year, or the year last year with Alex Smith. You know, they had a coach who has plenty of history elevating quarterback play. You know, so, okay, am I going to assume that, well, if all these players go down, is that, you know, Patrick Mahomes running around magic, is that what happens when he doesn't have the players to keep up and get open? Well, all of a sudden, you know, those big plays that make up for a lot of questionable decisions go away, and now it's more questionable decisions. Maybe the fortune does it. So, again, these are a lot of what-ifs, a lot of projecting, a lot of assumptions, but it's basically based on, well, we haven't seen it from him yet when we've had seen it from Rodgers and Brady.
Yeah, I mean, Rodgers and Mahomes faced the same defense in last year's postseason, and Rodgers didn't have his starting left tackle, David Bakhtiari, yeah. Maybe the best left tackle in football. He still was able to put 26 points on the board. Yeah. Like, he should have played better in the NFC Championship game. I get that. But he put 26 points on the board, and I'm sure that, you know, throughout that game, Tampa Bay was frightened of him because he's that explosive. Patrick Mahomes, yes, he didn't have one of his starting offensive tackles from the AFC Championship game. He had played without the other one from, you know, two-thirds of the way into the season on. So you can't use that as an excuse. They kind of, you know, coached up whatever they had to do on the right side. I believe it was Jeff Schwartz, who was a good tackle, not as good as Eric Fisher. But nonetheless, he played with a depleted offensive line. We can agree on that. He put up 9 points. So, you know, so you can kind of look and say, well, how is Kansas City the number one team? They got pretty much their you-know-what handed to them in the Super Bowl. Tampa's got their entire team back.
Yeah.
Like, every starter is back. We're hearing Antonio Brown looks like the Antonio Brown of 5 years ago in Pittsburgh, which would scare the hell out of me if you're a defensive coordinator in the NFC or anywhere. And yeah, I know Kansas City shored up that offensive line. That's great. But, you know, are they going to run the football more effectively, which they were able to do in the Super Bowl and decided not to? That's on Andy Reid, too. Yeah. I mean, I know Andy Reid – people love, and you want to give him a big hug, and he looks like a walrus and all that stuff. But, like, why did they run the football more? Because Tampa was giving them that.
What was his knock?
They just continued to throw.
What was the knock on Andy Reid prior to winning the Super Bowl?
Well, clock management, one of them is bad. Yeah. But, yeah.
Well, that really bad and clock just management. Kind of sometimes decision-making in some of the bigger situations. Yeah. And, look, you know, I think, you know, Chiefs fans in particular – are setting themselves up for a lot of disappointment because they've decided that the entirety of their issues fall on the offensive line, which isn't true.
Right.
Like you mentioned, like, yes, did they lose one of their tackles from the, you know, AFC Championship game to the Super Bowl? Yes. It's not ideal. Certainly not ideal. But they're acting like they lost all of their offensive linemen between the AFC Championship game and the Super Bowl, and that's not true. And again, if you're going to sit there and put all the blame on the offensive line, which, you know, again, go back and watch the film, there's a lot of blame to be thrown around, then you're going to be greatly disappointed because if they haven't fixed the other issues, then guess what? You know, it's not easy to go to a Super Bowl.
No.
And I think they're going to find that out the hard way this year because, you know, look, I don't know the future in some cases I do. But I get this feeling, and again, maybe this is, I'll admit, maybe it's a little bit of a bias, you know, maybe an anti-Mahomes bias. I know, look, I'll sit there and say it's a possibility.
You don't have that, Ian.
No. Look,
have that.
I may sound ridiculous, but eventually, gonna be like a good you know, for my slogan, campaign slogan. I may sound ridiculous, but
Skip Bayless is making $6.5 million doing that.
That's
we'll
true. That's
it.
Very true.
Go
that's
right
very
ahead.
True. I may sound ridiculous, but so far
there's a method to my badness.
There is, because if you think about it, a lot of the things that I've been saying for the last year and a half, 2 years, especially when it comes to these quarterbacks in particular, have turned out to be true. It takes a couple months for people to admit it. We just talked about the whole Mahomes article talking about how, yeah, you know what? The offensive line didn't play that poorly. I just made a mistake. Well, guess what?
Yep.
I've been saying that for a while.
To it. Yep.
Yeah. So,
yep. And blame your coach, too, because if you're having trouble dealing with, you know, the pass rush, go max protect at that point. And then just hope that Kelce and Tyreek Hill can get open. You know, give your quarterback a little more time. Do things to make it easier for him, not more difficult. And run the damn ball. They averaged over 5 yards a carry. Now, I know that Tampa was pretty much giving them that, but take advantage of it. You know, give what the defense offers you at sometimes. And that's why he's not at the level of Brady and Rodgers, who can check down into runs a lot easier than Mahomes, because they have more experience. That's understandable. So, you know, that's why before we anoint him the greatest quarterback ever, can we let him have his career play out, you know, like more than 3 years. And I love him. I love watching him. I mean, I'm not going to buy those sneakers. I am an Adidas guy, but those sneakers are a little too expensive, and I don't understand the connection with the lime green. I mean, the Chiefs wear red white and gold. Yeah, I don't know where they're coming in with the lime green sneakers, but, and I would look ridiculous in lime green sneakers. I'm 58 years old. Well, so, but no, I love Mahomes. I think he's great for the league. I like the kid. I like Cam Newton a lot, but you know, there's things he does that you criticize him on, including not getting vaccinated.
Yeah. Well, that's
a whole complicated story. And you know, for another day, maybe if you want, but yeah, no, let's not anoint someone 3 years into the league. You know, we haven't put Zion. I mean, Zion hasn't accomplished as much as Patrick Mahomes, but you get my point. Two, 3 years in the league, we're not. Oh, Zion's the greatest small forward ever. He surpassed Larry Bird and Kevin Durant and everybody else.
Yeah, and that's the thing. That's mostly what my ranting and raving is ultimately about. Is these
right.
Ridiculous conversations that we have in a lot of scenarios, but. That's why football's great, because we're going to continue to talk about this, and come Sunday, when I'm proven right yet again, Tom Brady being number one, I will take some victory laps next week, so I'm going to start hydrating now, and get ready for that. So, John, thank you very much for hopping on here today, as always, and if you want to tune in tomorrow, we will be back right here on Full Press Radio on Twitter, and of course on YouTube and Facebook as well. Later tonight, we have our unnamed Full Press Hockey Show, so tune in for that at 8 o'clock right here on or on Twitter at Full Press NHL. There's a lot of handles, a lot of tags, a lot of things I got to talk about. Sometimes I stumble over my words. In that case, I did. So at Full Press NHL if you want to tune in for that later tonight. And of course, if you want to rag us on our opinions and all that stuff, give us a follow on Twitter at Well, the show's at FPC Radio Live. I'm at IGLEN31. And, of course, John, you can find him with the big blue fancy check mark at JohnSap25. Have a great day, folks, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.